This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, the whole fucking show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network, boo.
Hey, everybody, it's Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Hey, you've got Terry Funk here.
This is Jerry Lynn.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
The evolution of online sports entertainment steps back inside the square circle to once again bring you Wrestle Talk Radio.
Politically incorrect?
I'm damn proud of it.
Join us as we cover everything from old school to new school, from the WWE.
This is Natty Neidhart.
This is Stephanie Fitzgerald Wilson.
This is Harry Smith.
This is Gail Kim.
TNA.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
I'm Mojo.
Hi, this is Chrissy Annie, TNA Knockout.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
And the NBC.
It's still real to be damn it.
With your host, Jim Stein.
Am I authorized to enter the neutral zone?
Fuck.
You kind of kinky, and I like that.
Maze.
Hey, what the kick stand?
Will.
Hey, yo.
Tonight's special guest, Alan Wojcik.
When you're out of my sight, you must constantly Twitter me exactly what you're up to. Even though I don't know what Twitter is and have no desire to find out.
Kennedy Omega.
We got the
live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's okay to play with yourself as long as you have an action figure.
Yeah, baby.
I came to play the play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees.
I came to play the play.
Keep a good old day. They're never coming back. Watch a few
moments.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that has won zero awards in this year's Wrestling Radio Awards, Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the zero award-winning Wild Talk Radio Network. We are a network that will give credit where credit is due, and not to some wife-beating SOB. I am the once original foreign kid of internet wrestling, Mace, and tonight I am joined by the one true king of all things geek, the Omega.
Hello.
Hello.
And also joining me, the man who taught me that if you're going to shoot on somebody, use a big-ass gun, the Spug Guy.
Always make sure to have it loaded, too.
And also from... And also, from OWW Radio, the kindest man in internet wrestling radio today, Mr. Alan Wojcik.
You know, it's amazing. A wise man once said, I don't need titles, I don't need awards to know how damn great I am. Thanks, WRA. Love you.
Also producing tonight, the real hardest working man in internet radio, Sir Rock and Sock. And of course, last but not least, the man who without his technical assistance or his willingness to give people a chance, we wouldn't all be here and some of those quote-unquote award-winning shows might not be on the air. Mr. Tim Stein.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night. That's right. We call it Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We've got a whole bunch of people tuned in tonight who have basically tuned in for the very first time ever. I want to say a very special thank you to all of you who decided to come check us out, see what's going on, and, talk about the pay-per-view. Some of you loved it. Some of you hated it. Some of you thought it was absolutely full of shit. Some of you thought it was kind of funny. You know what? Everyone has an opinion. Opinions are like assholes. Everyone's got them. We're going to give you the opportunity to express your opinions on tonight's Royal Rumble pay-per-view. We've got two different ways for all of you to get in touch with us. I'd like to say a special hey to Stonehot. Haven't seen you in a long time. Good to see you again. Welcome back to the show and the chat room, Stonehot. But to get in touch with us here, get on the show live. Tell us what you thought about the pay-per-view. You know, shout out to your homies. Call somebody a bitch, whatever. All you got to do is, if you got Skype, add Sir Rockin, and you can Skype to Skype. Sir Rockin will bring you on the show live. Yeah, Alan, it was a 1993 thing. There you go. I went there. 93, cool. You got to remember, 1993 was when I was cool, so yeah, I used homies. It's all good. Don't worry about it. You know what I'm saying? It's all that in a bag of chips, or should I say a packet of crisps? We'll talk about that later. Never mind.
God, you are white. Shut up.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Omega. I forgot what color I was, so you reminded me. Anyway, so if you got the Skype client, Skype to Skype Sir Rockin. If you don't have it, then either get it or call, if I can remember the phone number. Area code 267-297-1397 will bring you on the show live. There. I'm finished my rambling, my royal rambling.
What, you got, we got a pay-per-view to cover.
Yeah, you got some kind of a smarty comment there, Omega? Go ahead, use it. I dare you.
No, smarty comment. I took my shot. Move on.
Okay, what about you, Alan? You got some kind of a smart-ass comment?
Oh, I'm supposed to talk now? No.
This is where you talk, yeah. Okay. So, overall, guys, what did you think about tonight's WWE presentation in general, Mace?
Hey, it was an entertaining Royal Rumble, if you take out the fact that a lot of people don't like who won, but hey, as I predicted last week on this show,
sure.
Del Rio for the win.
Yes, we have to give you the credit, and I know that Rock is recording this, and we can do the clip. Are you ready for your clip?
Damn right.
Mace was right. There you go. Okay. There's your clip. It was promised to you last night when we were talking about it, so there you go. Spud, did you happen to catch the entire pay-per-view, or at least parts of it?
I watched the whole thing.
Okay, and what was your overall impression?
The Edge championship match was really good, especially the way they worked the spear in there. I thought that was... I mean, the ref bump, yeah... We all know they put him in matches, but I thought the way that they worked that in was really good.
Mm-hmm.
The Miz championship match, I was actually surprised at how good that was. The Rumble match, I thought, had too many lulls in it for how many individuals were in it. And no Kong in the Divas title, no Triple H. No appearance of The Undertaker. Yeah, I get that they're trying to push the younger guys, but Booker T and Kevin Nash were in the ring. You're telling me that Undertaker can't hobble out of his crypt for 5 minutes?
Alan, your take.
This is a memo to Dixie Carter, Jeff Jarrett, and Vince Russo, before you book your big thing that's going to air on February 3rd, sign the people to the deals. Very, very cool to see Nash. Very cool to see Booker. Like Bugs said, was surprised no Triple H, but they may be saving him to get revenge at Elimination Chamber since that's where he lost the title.
Yeah.
Also, like Bugs said, and I'm sure everybody else on the panel is going to say, very surprised, no Awesome Kong, Amazing Kong, Kong the Destroyer, whatever they're going to call her. To put Eve Torres in there was really weird. The title matches, I'll let go on when you guys get to them, but Rock kind of joked with me earlier, he's like, I need you to pick stuff. So I'm like, okay, fine, I don't know, fine, Del Rio, and all of a sudden, hey, I won, so I get a set of steak knives, awesome.
Oh, great, I hope they're against it. Will, are you with us? I don't think Will's with us. Okay, Omega?
I think he's in mourning right now over what
he
won,
morning.
Man.
You know, there's no reason for Will to be in mourning. John Cena didn't win. Omega?
That's right, babe.
Oh, my God. I have mixed... Expected? I will admit, okay, the Miz match is entertaining. I fully expected that. Except for the way it ended.
Mm-hmm.
The Diva match, a mess. When we get to it, I will vent my anger. And the Rumble, God damn it. I have opinions. Let's put it that way.
Okay, well, I'm sure that we'll hear them in due course. Why don't we start off, take a look at the first match of the night. It's for the world title, Edge defending against Dolph Ziggler. And, of course, the stipulation set out by Vicky Guerrero on Friday Night SmackDown, no spear. The spear is banned. Edge, you use the spear, not only will you lose, you'll forfeit your title. Mace.
Yeah, great job sounding me on this one. I didn't watch the damn match.
I don't believe you didn't watch the damn match. Wow. Okay,
I'll suddenly pop up to grab some DVDs, and next thing I know, I've missed the match.
Okay, there you go. Then we'll throw it to Omega.
It wasn't a bad opening match. I mean, like mm-hmm. I said, I think Ziggler did a lot better than I expected him to. I mean, I was still upset that, I mean, you could tell they kind of blew off Miz versus Morrison at the pay-per-view because they only wanted one risky match at the pay-per-view, and that went to Ziggler. So, okay, the risk might have paid off. It was an entertaining match. I don't really like it when they force your finisher is illegal stipulation. But, you know, whatever makes the match a little bit more interesting. It was nice. I mean, I kind of wish it had ended without the spear at all. It would have been cooler if it, okay, Edge is using the kill switch. Awesome. You know, it was nice how they worked in the spear and that they actually managed to pull that off without him getting caught at it. But at the same time, if you're gonna pull a twist like that, I would have rather that been the only twist. I think they kind of took away from it, but it was still a cool match overall. At least a way to open a match.
Okay, Alan.
I like that Stryker went to Lawler and asked, you know, you've had the pile driver taken out in your match, which was funny because last night he wrestled in front of 1,700 people in Nashville, and the pile driver's been outlawed in Nashville for years, so that was a nice touch. Wasn't surprised with certain stuff that went on. We had talked about this on All of Wrestling Radio that Miz was a test bunny to see how he would do as the world champ on a pay-per-view. And tonight I felt was the same thing, that it was a test bunny to see how Dolph Ziggler would do in a world title match. And I thought he was really good. Vicky being Vicky, of course, is going to get interrupted. I thought having Vicky out there for an Eddie Guerrero memorial spot, which they pulled off, is great. Mm-hmm. So not disappointed. Was surprised it opened, but you know, it did its job. It got the crowd going.
Yeah, absolutely true. Spug. Spug.
I'm here.
Unmute the microphone, damn it.
I wasn't muted. Thought it was a decent match. The thing, like I said earlier, the way they worked the spirit was absolutely great. The spot with Kelly Kelly coming in and taking care of Vicky and then the ref bump. And I don't know if anybody else noticed this, but the way that Ziggler sold that spear and essentially landed on his head was beautiful. He made it look like Edge killed him. And it was absolutely gorgeous. And the little throw to Christian at the end with the unprettier DDT, I think there's something coming down the pike between those two.
Interesting. The thing that I want to know is, did I miss something on SmackDown? Why did Kelly Kelly show up, Alan?
You've completely stumped Alan Wojcik.
No, because I haven't watched SmackDown, so I honestly don't know what's going on there. I didn't watch SmackDown this Friday because it was go-home. I thought everything happened on Raw, so I'll admit I have no clue. I figured, on my own guess, I figured just, okay, which diva, eeny, meeny, miny, okay, send the blonde, you, go.
It was really awkward because she's been doing the whole thing with Drew McIntyre lately.
Mm. Yeah.
So that just completely came completely out of the blue.
Is that Drew McIntyre's wife?
No, that's Taryn Terrell, who's no, who was future endeavored.
Kelly
Kelly was dating Tess, Andrew Martin, when he passed away.
I'm now, not don't, cool like you, Alan. I don't know real names. You have to give stage names.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Don't confuse storyline with real life either. That just like gets me all mixed up. But yeah, Taryn Terrell, Tiffany. Is married to Drew McIntyre in real life. They're the ones that had the, you know, little set to a few months ago where Taryn Terrell
supposedly.
Allegedly.
She's
right.
The one that caved his head in, okay.
Yeah, she's the one who kicked the shit out. Does that help?
Yes, that helps a lot.
Okay, that's good to know. I'm glad to hear that. So, yeah, Kelly Kelly comes out, takes out Vicky, and I'm wondering why Edge uses the spear. Am I wrong, or did I see the I'm prettier?
Kill Switch, I'm prettier, whatever company you work for, man.
I don't care what you say, it will always be the unprettier to me. 5 second post.
It's 2011, get with the times.
No, that's boring. I'd rather live back in the day. Anyway.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah.
That was WWE
yeah.
Creative.
Yeah.
Found out.
Yeah. So Edge retains the world title. And up next, WWE title, The Miz taking on Randy Orton. We get Alex Riley interfering for, I don't know, what, the 350th time, Omega?
Yeah, big surprise. Alex Riley interferes again. Surprise Michael Cole didn't jump into the match again.
Well, I'm sure he popped a couple of woodies during that match.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure if he was... Oh, he didn't pop into the match. I'm sure he popped several times during the match, but that's besides the point.
Alex Riley's interference is a given. We should all expect that. It's other interference that I went, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a forced start to a feud with the Nexus, which is complete shit.
Well,
I'm really entertained by The Miz. I really like him. He's very good at playing the wormy heel champion, but you know, he didn't need that. It just felt wasted. Just like, okay, we want to have Randy Orton in the Nexus feuding soon, so we're going to have him cost him a championship. For no fucking reason whatsoever.
Other than, what, to be a dick, right, Max?
Pretty much, but hey, Alex Riley, I believe I can fly. My dead boy got launched!
I did a really good impression of a lawn dart, don't you think?
Oh, hell yeah.
Ray's sitting in the locker room going, I flew higher, dude. And I hit a building.
Yeah, we'll get to that momentarily, but yeah, you just having Nexus come out, you know, I'm sorry, the new Nexus, and then CM Punk costing Orton the championship title. You know, they could have just let Riley be the bugger enough to cause the loss. I don't see why they had to pull Punk out.
Because it's something different. It's something that we weren't expecting. It possibly gives new storyline ideas. I don't know. I'm not stoned enough to be a part of WWE Creative.
There you go. It just smacks of overbooking to me, Alan.
I was sitting there the same thing as everybody else, just going, okay, wait a minute. Is Russo in Boston? I mean, what the heck's going on here? Miz is so over as heel as it is. You didn't need to. What? The fire's not big enough, so you need to get Punk and throw more gas on. Unless that sets up Miz versus Punk versus Orton, maybe for Mania, or teasing the Chamber early. I don't know. I was very on the fence. And going into this match, because it was like, God, another damn Orton, man, and a title match, and I was happy that Miz won, but why it was done, I'm kind of along with your panel, I don't get it. And if I could get it, I'd probably be wiser.
Well, you might have a point there. They might be teasing the Chamber. What do you think, Omega?
I have no idea what they're thinking at this point, and quite frankly, I don't care to lower my IQ enough to figure it out.
Okay.
So, anybody have any final thoughts or opinions on the WWE title match?
Thank you for not throwing it to me. I appreciate it.
Well, it's your chance.
Well, you know, you threw it to Omega twice, asshole.
Well, there you go.
Let me...
Alzheimer's kicking in.
Alzheimer's disease. Yeah, there you go. Go, Spud, go.
We've known for a while that the Royal Rumble is where they set up their new feuds for leading into Mania.
Yeah.
That's where they do it. And I'm going to call the Chamber match right now. It's going to be Del Rio, Miz, Morrison, Cena, Sheamus. Did I put the champion in there? I think so. Cena, Sheamus, and Orton are your six participants in the Raw Chamber.
Mm-hmm.
Del Rio's not Raw.
And why would from Alberto Del Rio, I already got a shot at Mania, why would I go into the Chamber?
Because Cena did it a couple of years ago, and the way they're booking Del Rio's character, he's arrogant and will do it just to get his hands on the title.
Interesting concept, interesting thought.
He can be in both matches. Why not? Let him be in the Raw and the SmackDown Chamber. My ego is so big, I'm on two shows.
Seriously, though, I mean, Cena did it a couple of years ago. I can't remember the reasoning why he did it. I think he was forced into it. But
no, he forfeited it to get a shot.
That's
early.
Right. But I could see Del Rio doing the same thing, only out of arrogance. And with the involvement of Punk and the Nexus in the title match, yeah, it sets up the feud between Orton and Punk, probably with a payoff at Mania, but I don't understand why you couldn't have waited to the Chamber to do that. You could have involved Punk in the Chamber somehow, or had him screw Orton like Shawn Michaels did to Undertaker last year at the Chamber.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, just a quick observance on my part, unfortunately, with the way that the Rumble is going, it is becoming something that is no longer important in storylines the way it used to be, because you have the Chamber almost a month after it. So instead of using the Chamber or No Way Out or whatever you want to call it as kind of a go-between to get to Mania and using Rumble as your setup point, now they're using the Chamber more of their setup point for everything. Because think of how many Mania matches come out of the Chamber.
Hmm. That's a good third of the card, isn't it?
Close to it, I would imagine.
Yeah, that's what I hate about the Chamber matches, because it completely puts an enormous roadblock between Royal Rumble and WrestleMania, where you used to have feuds that would build the next 2 months, because you knew that would be the match at Mania. Now you've only got 1 month, if you're lucky, to produce your feuds, which is no different than any other pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but there are some feuds that do kind of begin to fester at the Rumble. You know, like, I'm pretty sure Punk and Orton is going to find its way to Mania. Somehow, I mean, we're going to talk about the Rumble match itself later, but when Big Show exited and Nash was there, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Nash versus Big Show at Mania either.
It's not Nash, it's Diesel.
Whatever you want to call him.
Daddy Cool in the house.
Whatever you want to call him, I wouldn't be surprised if at Mania you had Nash versus Big Show.
Well, here's the thing, okay? Generally, when these mystery Rumble spots are filled up, it's for one-off appearances. You know, Booker T this year and Big Daddy Cool Diesel makes the return. What are the chances that the fan reaction to Diesel, Kevin Nash, whoever the hell you want to call him, the guy who dyed his hair, winds up telling WWE, maybe we should get this guy through Mania. And there was that setup that Spud's alluding to with that long stare between him and Big Show.
I'd keep them both. Why not? Screw TNA over it perfectly.
Oh, yeah, especially with this buildup of they are coming and the return of
exactly.
The main event mafia.
And the short-term right. Deals that keep them to Mania and you screw them over for going to lockdown,
yeah.
Which is
yeah,
supposed
I mean,
to be the setup.
Yeah, it's WWE. I mean, their short-term deals probably pay as much as the long-term deals with TNA, and they've got, like, maybe 3 matches total.
It's still an interesting speculation. Go ahead, Spud.
I'm not too concerned about them screwing over TNA. TNA screwed themselves over because as far as I read on articles today when I had found out that Booker T and Kevin Nash were going to be at the Royal Rumble tonight, that TNA had Nash signed. He had signed the deal. And they started putting out all the promotion shit, and there was something in it he didn't like, so they had to rework the contract. So, you know, the TNA screwed themselves over yet again. So I have no issue with that. But I will say this. There are a couple of feuds within the Royal Rumble pay-per-view other than ones we named that I think could make it to Mania. I'm gonna guess that at some point Barrett and Sheamus are gonna hook up. Probably maybe it on Raw within the next couple of weeks or maybe Sheamus takes a trip to SmackDown. But those two were going at it for a while in the Rumble tonight that I think that kind of feud could have legs.
Well, definitely interesting speculation and something that I think the fans might be interested in. What do you think, Mace?
Did the Royal GM just message you?
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
And I quote, he's listening, or she, whoever it is.
Yeah, and I quote.
Well, I'm not really going with many speculations at this point in time. I'm just sort of going, yay, let's see what happens.
Yeah, true. We've got like 63 days until WrestleMania, in case you didn't catch it on the
autocorrect.
The two times they decide to play it tonight. So at least it's the end of the goddamn Rumble for the number promo.
By the way,
yeah,
I was watching that promo and I had some old episode of Raw DVR'd. And I went back real quick to it, and the promo was on there before they announced Shawn Michaels as the induction into the Hall of Fame this year.
Yeah.
They referred to him as Hall of Famer Shawn Michaels on the promo. Like a week before they were talking about inducting him.
Hey, that's a pretty big find because I didn't see it anywhere else in the internet wrestling community. That's spoiled.
It shows how many people pay attention to that little number countdown promo they do every year.
They showed it, watching the pay-per-view tonight, they showed it, and I went, did they? And so I went back, I went on my DVR real quick, and it popped up one of the old Raw episodes I had, and it was from beginning of January, and there it was in that promo, Hall of Famer Shawn Michaels. Holds the record, and I went, huh. When did they announce that they were going to induct him? Like 2 weeks ago?
Yeah. Yeah, it was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. So, yeah, the promo is a little bit of a spoiler.
Oh, well. If you pay attention, it's quite amazing what you can come up with where they screw up. But, okay, so the Miz retains, then we go backstage for a statement read by, what's his name, by Cody, from Cody Rhodes. And this whole thing, you know, reading it out like a family tragedy, thank you for respecting my privacy at this, you know, this point in time. Like, what the hell is all that about?
He's He likes sounding like a retard.
Well, he sure as hell comes across as one. And then, of course, you know, the fans are all asked to protect the Royal Rumble winner. Nobody picked Del Rio in that promo, did they?
I thought I heard one person pick Del Rio.
I don't know. I heard Mace pick Del Rio.
There was one person who did pick Del Rio in that promo.
I think someone else picked Del Rio on this network. I don't know.
Well, we'll give you credit, but, you know, don't gloat too much. We wouldn't want you to get emotional.
Oh, of course not.
Jeez, you guys.
I heart you, Alan.
So, yeah, anyway, he's... Anyway, Cody Rhodes sounding like Charlie Sheen going into rehab. Moving on.
Did he look like Charlie Sheen going into rehab? I'm still walking my dog.
Dude, nobody looks like Charlie Sheen going into rehab. I don't know.
Yeah, but did he have a 19-year-old adult film actress and a 22-year-old adult film actress sitting there tweeting away, on drugs, drinking 24 hours, woohoo!
There you go. I don't know. I wasn't paying attention. Anyway, the next thing they do, Lay Cool comes out to take on Natty for the Divas Championship. I don't know about you guys. I said it before. I'm going to say it again. I hate that fucking title. Why the hell do we have to keep the Divas title and have one of the most prestigious WWF/WWE belts of all time basically eradicated in the Women's Championship?
I thought we covered this before, Tim. Women can wrestle. Divas just sports entertain and look good on swimsuit covers.
And give the 16-year-old woodies. Yeah, I get it. Still pisses me off.
Yeah. Because I'll say it once again. You know what I want right before a main event wrestling match? An erection. I still don't understand the logic behind that. I know they want to cool down the audience a little bit, but come on.
Well, by sending all 10,000 men to the soda counter, I don't need the soda. Just give me some ice. I'll be fine.
Jeez, I don't know, Mom. But anyway, if I may have your attention, please, I just received an email from the anonymous Raw general manager. We are now turning this fatal three-way, or this handicap match, rather, two-on-one, into a fatal four-way. Everybody's everybody's expecting Awesome Kong to come out, whatever name they're going to give her. And who do we get? Eve fucking Torres. What the hell? Eddie's sister. You know, Eddie Torres. Why is she out here?
Don't know. This is just... I'd love to figure out how they thought this was a good idea in the first place. First off, you have this feud between Melina and Natalya building up. You blow it off on Raw just to put Michelle McTaker, you know, blowing his tombstone to stay on top, just to put her onto the match. Then
I'm sorry.
Work on holding back your feelings, dude. Wow.
Yeah, I'm sorry for the delayed reaction, just blowing his tombstone. That was... Did you guys not realize how priceless that line that is?
Copyright it now, dude. Get there.
Michelle McCool blows Taker's tombstone. Way on, TMZ. Anyway, go ahead. Continue on.
But you completely blow off this match with Natalya and Melina on Raw. Throw on... what was supposed to be a two-on-one with Lay Cool that no one gives a shit about anymore. And then you throw in Eve Torres, and you completely fuck the match even harder by, the one person is just injected into the match. No fucking build-up. Crowd didn't do shit when she came out.
Yeah.
And I don't understand the logic. I mean, WWE, it has what it needs for a half-decent Divas division, but it doesn't use it ever. It seems like they intentionally want to sabotage that championship, whether it's to make it look like crap, stick it on two different girls at the same time, put it on someone with zero build-up, zero crowd reaction.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going through their heads. They wouldn't do this with any other title. Makes no sense at all.
Makes you wonder about the health of Kong.
Well, you think there might be something there after she did her mysterious tweet alluding to the fact that she would be at the Rumble, Spud?
It's either that or it's the Lex Luger from WrestleMania 9.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for those of you that don't know the story, right before WrestleMania 9, the night before, Luger was out at a bar.
WrestleMania 10.
Or 10. WrestleMania 10. Luger was out
at a bar. And it's rumored, never confirmed.
You know what? I'm not playing with allegedly and crap here. This is the story.
Okay.
As
tell
it was reported.
Story time with Spud. Awesome.
That Luger was out at a bar and got hammered and started telling people that he was going to win the title the very next night at WrestleMania.
The
reporter was there. They started reporting it. Word got back to Vince. Next thing you know, Bret Hart's winning the title, and then Hogan wins the title. Same night.
Mm-hmm.
Zuna won the title, and then whatever. But Hogan ended up walking out of WrestleMania with it, and Luger got screwed. I'm wondering if maybe it was the same thing. You know, Awesome Kong mentioned something on Twitter, and in today's age of internet media and instant information, if something got back to Vince very quickly and he went, whoa, 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 hold on a second.
Yeah, I could see that taking place. Maybe that she tweeted a little too much. I mean, take a look at what Kevin Nash did. He got ambushed at an airport on his way to Boston by...
He was in Logan. That was Logan Airport.
Oh, that was actually in Logan Airport. He was basically waylaid by a couple of people from a different website. And, we won't publish the website because we don't do any business with them, but, you know.
He dyed his hair to be Carlos, the drug dealer in a new movie. It's like, all right, Carlos.
Yeah, that was very interesting how he totally.
Looks like Carlos.
Yeah, he said he was going to be watching the Royal Rumble at some 9-year-old kid's house.
Yep.
He could have been. He could have been doing something for the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
You know, there you go, right? He kept the entire thing kayfabe, as they say in the business.
This could have been a situation of Kong saying, yeah, I'm going to be at the Royal Rumble. She never said I'm going to be on the pay-per-view, did she? And she joining up. Well, she lives in Boston now. She was living here in Tampa and moved to Boston to be with, I forgot the gentleman's name that she's seeing. No, let her say that and then have Lay Cool come out tomorrow night on Raw and say, we got screwed, and now you introduce Kong on Monday Night Raw and help Lay Cool get their belt back.
Yeah, but that makes no sense when you signed her to the company a couple weeks
ago. No, this whole thing didn't make sense. You put the belt on Eve Torres?
I'm not saying
put the belt on my kid or your kid in the audience would have popped bigger.
I'm just wondering if Eve Torres may have pulled a Sonny to get the belt.
Whoa.
Okay.
Wow.
I didn't say that out loud, did I? I was just
you
thinking.
Do.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, shit. How do I tell them that because I've been frozen for 30 years, I have no inner monologue? Oops.
Oh, quit with the old Austin Powers joke.
Yeah, baby. Anyway, there we go. There's the match. Double pin, but nobody sees McTaker pinning Natty. Which is just a crying shame in its own right.
Look at the ref. Look at the ref as he begins to count three.
He looked over his shoulder.
He looked over his shoulder at her.
Okay, so the spot's set. We're counting you. One, two, three. There we go.
Yeah,
got it. See them.
I saw
nothing. Yeah, well, catch the replays. I mean, it's going to be on YouTube. In no time, I know that a couple of you might go and decide to grab some torrents. I'm not saying that we're going to condone illegal streams or any DMCA copyright infringements. I'm not going to tell the authorities whether or not you did it. That's all. It's not, you know, none of our business, right? Yeah.
I just thought it was funny that he looks over his shoulder at her and then goes back to counting to three.
Hold on.
Count over there. When he looked over, wasn't that just as Nay was getting rolled up?
When he was counting the one as she was getting rolled up, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it would have been a funnier
Just to try and make some sense of this, we'll try and look at, like, at some actual proper wrestling. Technically, by the rules, seeing as Natty was still standing by the when the referee looked over his shoulder to see what was happening, he turns back to start counting. Therefore, he doesn't know that the pinfall is going on behind without his notice. Therefore, in his eyes, the only real winner was Eve, which still doesn't make anybody sense.
Alright,
to debunk that real quick, Mace,
don't throw wrenches in my work!
Ghost Hunters, dude.
When he looked over, Michelle had Natty already rolled up and was counting the pinfall simultaneously. He looked over, and Natty's shoulders were already on the mat.
Yeah, and her legs are straight up in the air with Michelle perfect pin cover.
There's nothing wrong with Natty's legs up in the air, I can tell you that.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Sam.
I was holding my tongue.
All right, you guys, wipe your chins off. That's enough. Okay.
Wow.
God,
didn't do it tonight. So
wholesome
you,
Christian Canadian. Entertainment on this network, man.
All right. Thank you very much, Alan Wojciechowski. Anyway, we gotta rein this in and get some more control of this show. So we're gonna wind up gonna first break of the, and then we'll come back and actually talk Royal Rumble and the entrances and the eliminations and what it might mean. Down the line leading to WrestleMania. Everybody, you're listening to WCO Sunday Night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't forget, we are now on mobile. You can log on to WTR.wirenode.mobi on your phone. Listen to WTR live wherever you are. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this.
You missed it. This is what happens when you tune in to Online World of Wrestling Radio.
Mrs. Carino is on Online World of Wrestling Radio?
He sure is.
Oh my God, this is awesome. So, Mom, you got any questions for your son? You want to air some funny stories about him?
Oh, there's so many stories I can tell you that it would take hours.
Are they going to be hours?
I have a question for Mrs. Carino.
Okay.
I have a picture of me when I was about 4 years old in a pair of yellow rain boots, yellow underwear, and a bandana doing the Hulk pose. It's in a photo album somewhere. Do you have any embarrassing photos of Steve that you could tell us about?
No. Well, it's not so much embarrassing. But there was a contest one time.
Liar.
And him and his buddy dressed up like the Rock and Roll Express. Well, they didn't win the contest, but years later, I ran into Richie Moore. So I was going to be at this show, so I took the picture with him. He just about died. Sorry.
By the way. Remember to tune in to Online World of Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern Tuesday, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Wild Talk Radio. Always imitated. No, that's about it. Always imitated.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio. Hello, Fear Restaurant. May I help you?
Oh, yes. I'd like to make an order, please.
What would you like?
Vegetable fried rice.
Huh?
Vegetable fried rice.
Only vegetable.
Vegetable
Hello?
Fried rice. Hello?
Yes.
Yes, vegetable
no
fried
meat.
Rice.
And do you egg it okay? No egg.
Egg okay. Egg okay.
Okay.
No bok choy?
Oh, we don't have bok choy.
No bok choy? Okay.
Yes.
Snow peas? You have snow peas?
Yeah, we have snow peas.
Extra snow peas.
What do you mean? You mean to fried the rice?
Yes, fried rice.
Oh, fried rice, we don't have snow peas.
No snow peas?
Yeah.
The chicken? You put chicken in there?
And we have chicken fried rice.
But
you want chicken fried rice?
No, I want the vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Oh, that means chicken fried rice, yeah?
No, vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Hello, we have seafood fried rice, beef fried rice, chicken fried rice. Or if you don't want meat, we can make a vegetable fried rice for you. So you want chicken or no chicken?
No, I want the vegetables and the chicken. Can you do both?
We have like a fried rice, we have green peas inside. Not too much vegetables.
Never mind.
Hold on.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
All right, wrestling fans, this is Rick the Model Martel. Yes, of course, the one and only the model. You are listening right now to Wild Talk Radio Network. Yes. Let's network with some class, of course. And remember, fans, arrogance is not just a fragrance, it's a way of life.
Welcome back to WTR Sunday Night, Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We're just about to take a look at the actual Rumble, and I'd like to say, hey, to Jersey Girl, you're a little late, but better late than never. Yes, I know you've been here for a while. First chance I got to say hi to you. Once again, everybody, if you want to call into the program and give us your opinions on tonight's pay-per-view, we want to hear from you. You can phone from your telephone anywhere in North America. The phone number is area code 267-297-1397, or if you have Skype, add Sir Rockin' and Skype us, and then we'll bring you onto the show and let you have your unbiased opinion aired. I think that's only fair.
Sounds fair to me, and unlike other shows, we don't censor your opinions. We allow all opinions of all parts. We talk like real people here, not PG robots. Sorry.
Not only that, Mace, and yeah, no intended shot at Alan, but not only that, Mace, we don't want you to give us a rehash of our own opinions. We want to hear what you think. If you liked it, tell us. If you didn't like it, tell us. If you think we're full of shit, tell us. I mean, that's all good. Just saying.
But yes, we have 40 people to throw out. Or at least that's what the deal is.
Yeah, 40 people we're going to throw out. Here we go. The first one out, the Royal Rumble. CM Punk. Are we surprised by this?
This is a decent pick for number one. None of us picked him, but...
Nobody picked Punk. We were all thinking he'd be out number 40. Didn't we?
Yeah, I think that was a consensus.
Officially, the picks for number one were Kane, John Cena, Kofi Kingston, Daniel Bryan, Big Show, / Triple H, JTG, Big Show, Booker T, and Zack Ryder.
Wow. Yeah, no CM Punk in
there. Lot of swings and misses.
There you go.
Punk was in there? No, he wasn't. Daniel Bryan was.
Daniel Bryan was, huh? So, here it is. CM Punk is out, and then what happens?
the core from SmackDown, led by, oh, you can't say that because it's not a leadership. It's a, you know, it's a community. The core comes out, surrounds the ring, gets into the ring, and then the new Nexus comes out to defend CM Punk, and a brawl basically starts out. Your opinions on this particular maneuver, Mace?
Hell, it was a very different way to start the Rumble with some actual wrestling. My God, what were they thinking? But hey,
we're not through that yet.
Oh, wait.
Brawl.
Ah, yeah, the core. I forgot about that already.
That shows you how much that segment meant.
Exactly.
No, I think you can chalk that up to my opinion as well.
Why don't you give us your opinion, Omega?
I just did. It was an absolute waste of time. It was worth forgetting about.
I thought we were actually going with, like, the actual start of the Rumble. But, you know, considering that that attack happened before, technically, the Rumble began.
You're trying to find logic. Shut up.
Yeah, no, I should stop doing that.
Yeah, why are you trying to find logic and shit like this? So anyway, all right, the general manager sends an email to our favorite tool, Michael Cole. The guy who sees another guy being fought over by three bitches, and he calls him a dork.
Michael Cole in general was extra creepy tonight. he was talking about how many men he saw inside of Miz. He was talking about talking to your children before the event.
Dude, Michael Cole just strikes me after tonight as the poster child for pedophilia.
I still think he was trying to find someone of his intelligence level to talk to, but
I don't think anybody's that stupid.
Okay, you have a point.
There you go. So order is restored, thanks to, storyline, the officials, and the only one to be in the ring, CM Punk, the only one in the ring, out comes the second entrant, and how many internet wrestling community fans popped and marked out big time when it turned out to be Daniel Bryan?
I believe that would be all of us, plus every other place on the internet, plus all proper wrestling fans.
Exactly. And did the WWE acknowledge this? Yes, they did. They made fun of the internet.
No, they didn't. It was Michael Cole who turned around and said, "Who cares what the internet thinks?" The other guys were praising the fact that the internet fans were wanting a matchup like this.
Yeah. This is absolutely the truth. And did we get what we expected we would get with these two scoring off against each other as the first two entrants?
Well,
I would have to say
that was somewhat exciting.
I would have to say that we were given a tantalizing tease of a matchup we desperately want to see in WWE.
Yep.
Punk versus Danielson.
I thought you were going Diesel and Big Show, but yeah, I'd like to see that one too.
No, that'll be afterwards. That'll be when that actually happens. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, but yeah, I'll tell you. Tantalizing tease. It was just that feeling of goosebumps. Don't you think, Alan?
It was interesting to see the two of them out there, and I happen to say, in the private chat that we were having, said, this would have been perfect if you don't release Brandon Silvestri, Cabal, Low-Key, whoever you want to call him, have those two out as 1-2, and then out comes Low-Key for 3, the IWC, or whatever you want to call it, would have gone crazy, but creative had their own situation. I thought it was weird that they even did that whole thing with Gail Kim and the Bellas and Daniel Bryan, and then, oh, by the way, forget all that, I'm number 2!
So we're treated to
about Gail.
There you go. We're treated to a pretty good match, and then out comes entrant number 3, Justin Gabriel. He didn't last very long, did he?
Not really new.
You eliminate
wins the horses off the ward for first person eliminated.
There you go. Yeah.
Has anyone ever gone for a top rope move during the Rumble and not paid for it?
I've seen it happen.
Okay. If Hornswoggle goes to the top rope, can you really call it a high-flying move?
Yes, because for that man, it's really high up there.
Oh, hell, come on. Anything off the second rope for Hornswoggle would be a high-flying move, Omega.
Okay, but he's not flying very high in general, but okay.
So, yeah. Anyway, Gabriel eliminated after missing the 450 frog splash. Out number four, O-Radio. Tell me everything you know, Alan.
I was just like, what the heck? It was interesting just to see where they were going to go with this, because we've talked about it on, I'm sure you guys have talked about it on this show, we talked about it on Tuesday night, and I've talked about it with fans all over the place. So, okay, now you've got 10 other people, which basically equals to, okay, everyone that's been on Superstars, come on over. And that's what it turned into, seeing people like Zack Ryder and Yoshitatsu. And no, I was surprised at certain entrances. I don't know if you're going to read off all 40, so I'll shut up now.
Yeah, this will take longer than the entire Rumble if we go through every single participant.
The biggest surprises of the night, at least in my mind, if you're going to cut through a lot of the stuff, was a rehash of Kevin Nash in 94. Steve Austin did it 1 year, where at one point or another you played, since I don't know if TNA is going to ever use the phrase King of the Mountain again, but you had to have at some point in Royal Rumble tradition a King of the Mountain situation. I thought it was cool to see William Regal in there at a certain point with Bryan Danielson when you got to number five. I was like, Daniel Bryan, can't call him the other name.
Yeah,
as far as that, I mean, it was just, I was sitting there before we even got to Husky Harris coming in at 9, I just sat there going, okay, how long, we already had the Nexus out here, already had the Core, or whatever that, however you pronounce that, Core, out here. And it was like, I thought, okay, so you just brought in numbers 1 through however many are out there. Cool, you just saved us a crap load of time, and then GM computer buddy sends them all back. I was like, ah, crap.
Okay.
Damn. I kept waiting for Cole to get up and go, I'm entering number 29. Cool, let's go.
All right. So getting back on track, why don't we just take a quick look at basically what went on in the Rumble. We wind up getting a bunch of people out, including members of the new Nexus. By this time in the ring, we've got Regal, DiBiase. Morrison comes out. Yoshitatsu.
Morrison, who had the best moment of the entire Rumble.
Yeah, we're going to gloss over that. We're going to talk extensively about the shit before the Rumble, but we're going to gloss over what Morrison did. That was amazing.
Oh, yeah. No.
We're getting there. Got it.
Don't worry, guys. We're just loading up the ring right now like they did for the move. All right? Now, we're going to talk about this. Most people listening saw what happened, and I'll tell you, it was a holy fuck moment. That was awesome. It was. But we get all members of the new Nexus out there, along with Chavo Guerrero, Mark Henry, JTG, and Chris Masters. Absolutely the most incredible thing I have seen in a Rumble. Okay, here it comes. Here it is. This is what you guys were accusing me of glossing over. Morrison on the outside of the ropes on the ring apron, getting knocked away from the ring, lands on the barricade. Does not touch the floor with either foot, never mind both feet. Omega?
Clinging to the side of it, like 2 inches off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Take that, Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, that's exactly what I was saying the whole time. Okay, you've time to retire the Shawn Michaels one foot on the ground clip because that ousted it.
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
it,
no, that totally toasted the one foot on the ground clip. That is the new Royal Rumble clip right there. And how long was he balancing on top of the damn barricade, which is nothing more than a bunch of padding over top of, you know, basic metal fencing?
A good 10 seconds.
I mean, easily.
They still use the solid steel barricades underneath the padding.
Yep.
You know, it's still the barricades. So, but I will say this: did anybody else notice the oh shit look on Morrison's face when he was climbing up onto the barricade and realized that the footing might not be
yes.
that great?
The amount of times he looked back down at the ground, going, "Okay, are my feet still over the? Yep. Okay, good. Okay, footing. Let's go. Oh well, shit."
Yeah, I mean, he had this look on his face of, "Oh, fuck! Like this could either end up being historic, which it did, or end up in tragedy." And I almost wanted to see that thing end up with him spilling onto the ground, because at that point, how do you explain that away if you're WWE?
Oh, jeez.
That's always had me. I've always wondered this about a Royal Rumble. If you go out on one foot, can you hop around the ring as much as you like, or if say you fall somehow and you know, you go and get a chair from one of the announcers or something and sit down on it and you just keep your other leg suspended off the ground. Does that constitute being out of the ring or not? Tonight, Morrison has answered that question.
I always figured Zach Gowen was immortal in the Royal Rumble.
Well, see, I want to know this.
What?
You know, to bring up Mace's point of hopping around on one foot, does it count if you're hopping around on one foot and quickly put the foot down that you're hopping on and bring the other one up so that both feet are not on the ground, so that both feet are not all on the ground simultaneously, but you switch feet? Does that count?
I'd say to go by the foot that touches the floor has to stay on the floor, and if you switch feet, that's basically like putting both feet on the floor.
Yeah,
okay.
Since technically the rule states both feet must touch the floor. If one foot touches, then the other one touches, both feet touch.
It doesn't matter if you hop from one to the other. It doesn't count.
So. I'm just saying. As long as we're getting into the technicalities of Rumble rule.
I was starting to wonder that. If someone, like a Del Rio is a character sneaky enough to like roll out of the ring, just hop around to the other side of the ring on one foot, trying to get to make a bad pun, trying to get a leg up.
Oi.
We're going to talk about sneaky characters later, because I was excited for about 30 seconds. I was like, oh my god,
we're going to get there. We're going to get there.
I was so excited. I was like, no way. No way.
No, it was absolutely, absolutely incredible. And when he finally launched himself, and I'm watching him, okay, how is he going to make it to the ring? Gets over far enough to hit the stairs. I'm thinking, he's not high enough. He's going to miss.
Did you?
I was actually wondering if the stairs constituted as out of the ring. That was
not.
Another thing that I was wondering about. That if, like, so what's stopping somebody, if they're on the verge of an elimination near the stairs, to just basically roll over the top rope and take a seat on the stairs for half an hour?
the next entry booting them off when they come down the ramp.
Didn't somebody use the stairs at one point? Like Austin or somebody? Didn't they use the stairs back in the 90s?
Oh, I do not remember this.
Not a clue. I'd have to go and check the Rumble tapes.
I thought in the Rumble with McMahon that McMahon won, that Austin used the stairs at some point. Because I honestly can't answer that if it, about the stairs as far as it being part of the floor, because I've always, you know, Mason, I can go back and forth with this, you know, essentially forever because we've both been in the ring, but I've always counted the stairs as part of the ring. I mean, I've always thought of the stairs as part of the ring. So, I mean, I guess it's kind of open to interpretation. But if they're not, if the refs are going to allow it, I don't see why, you know, we should be ones to judge differently.
Well, I don't know about Austin using the, you know, using the stairs back in the 90s or anything, but I do remember seeing the odd guy getting tossed over top, and he's, like, you know, standing on the stairs, and he gets back into the ring again, so.
I've seen that before.
Yeah.
Perfect did that.
Yep.
Perfect did that. He got tossed over the top through the turnbuckle by Hogan, and he landed on the stairs and got back in, and then promptly got tossed out by Hogan.
Mm-hmm. That was back in the day, as it were.
That was in the early 90s. But, yeah, I mean, Perfect did that. So, I mean.
You know, and now we come to talking about Nexus basically taking over, eliminating absolutely everybody, giving CM Punk the opportunity to actually sit on his ass in the middle of the ring and wait for the next entrance to keep coming out. Oh, the first couple of times, okay. But don't you guys think that they dragged that out just maybe a little bit too much?
Yes.
I think every time they think of something for CM Punk to do during the Rumble, it drags for one or two eliminations too long. They did it last year with the Straight Edge Society preaching to the audience, trying to swear in people coming down to the ring. It dragged way too long.
Yeah, but with the angle last year, it kind of worked.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, CM Punk is great at what he does, so when he's doing it, I don't mind. But when it's in the middle of a Rumble match, and you've already gone for as long as he has, I mean, it wears out fast. It loses whatever charm and entertainment it had very quickly.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
It was just a little too much, I think.
The one part of that I thought, you know, when I figured it was dragging on too long, is when I was never happier to see Cena. I mean, I was actually, like, marking out a little bit when Cena came out. Or when Kali came out and threw out, was it Husky Harris? I was like, thank God, finally.
Yeah, no kidding. So on
this
that note,
time, this is the one time you wanted to see Cena coming down to the ring with a red cape blowing behind him, just wanted to beat the fuck out of everything in the ring.
Yeah, dude, I was like, oh my God, finally, we have something here.
There we go. Well, I'll tell you what, guys. Why don't we give everybody a chance to hit the fridge and get the get a can or a bottle of their favorite cold one and do this. And then come back. You're listening to WTR Sunday Night Rough Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be back with the rest of Royal Rumble coverage right after this.
Spider-Man does whatever a spider can. Spins the web any size. Can't you see? Just like guys, look out. Here comes the Spider-Man. Is he strong? Listen, bud. He's got radioactive blood. Can he swing from a thread? Take a look over his head. Spider-Man. In the chill of night, at the speed of a crime, like a streak of light, he arrives just in time. Spider-Man, Spider-Man, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, welcome fame, he's ignored, action is his reward to him. Life is a great big hang up, wherever there's a hang up, you'll find the Spider-Man.
What is it good for? Absolutely nothing.
You are? No, you are. It's y'all.
Say it, y'all.
You are.
What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Say it again, y'all.
For more great entertaining moments like this, please check out the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We swear we're not insane. At least they're not.
This is Mace, the overworked co-host of Wrestle Talk Radio, OWW Radio, Otaku Talk Live, the offside producer, Cindy Planning Boy, Building Diana, Advertising Guru, Bugs Bong Holder, Drink Runner, Omega's Transformer Record Keeper, and... Oh, and Back in the Book, all here on WildTalkRadio.com. If you desire to listen to a show that features a bit of the old-fashioned ultraviolence, people getting their heads kicked in, bones broken, and bloody crazy fights, then come on over and listen to Tap Outs to Knockouts live in the archive section of WildTalkRadio.com.
Mate, it's not all about the bloody stuff and the ultraviolence. Hey, this is Spud from Tap Outs to Knockouts, and if you want to hear the news, results, the technical side of MMA, then check us out on WildTalkRadio.com in the archive section. And oh yeah, we do have the bloody stuff.
And now I know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, what are you guys doing in here? Get back to sleeping.
Hey everyone, Johnny Cashmere here, host of Life is Callous right here on Wild Talk Radio. If you have not checked out my live show yet, then you really have to do so. Okay, I'm a pro wrestler, and we do talk, you know, pro wrestling on my show a little bit. But we also talk with a lot of other people, too. It's like a who's who of the celebrity world. Guests such as the Reverend Bob Levy from the Howard Stern Show, two-time Emmy Award-winning star John Wesley Shipp, Dr. Robin Zazio of A&E's hit show Hooters, comedian Andy Dick, and many more stars added each and every week. If you missed an episode, check it out in the archives and podcast right here on Wild Talk Radio.
Yo, I'm in five halls of fame. I wear kilts. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? Huh? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake. And you know what you're listening to? You're listening to Wild Talk. That's why they're trying to cage me.
Can you dig it? Dig it, sucker! Sucker!
And welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Roast Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Hey, everybody, just wanted to let you know, you can follow us on Facebook. Find us on Facebook, Wild Talk Radio. Not only that, we all have our very own Facebook pages. We'd be more than happy to add you to our friends list. Track us down on Facebook. Link right above the Ustream player on the chat page.
Can I correct you? It's Wild Talk Radio Network, like us.
Oh, there you go, Wild Talk Radio Network. Like us.
Yes,
sure.
And Twitter, Wild Talk Radio.
Oh, we got a Twitter account, too. That's right.
Yes, we know how to tweet. So follow us, Twitter. Twitter.com/Wild Talk Radio.
That sounds like a good idea. Yeah, you heard the music coming back from break. The man came back. Booker T enters the Rumble. Guys, number 21, is this a one-off deal, or are we going to see Booker back more often?
At this point in time, it's probably looking to be one-off, but if rumors that have been circulating are correct, he might be on commentary, which hopefully means we see Michael Cole get kicked off one of the shows, or he's going to be backstage helping the guys out with their matches and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or possibly managing somebody. But then again, I don't know who the hell he'd manage. Maybe he can manage JTG.
Now,
that could be the soccer connection.
That might actually be a good idea. Hook him up with JTG, give JTG a push through Booker T. What do you think, Al?
I was just happy to see the guy show up. It was like, oh, he's going to be there, he's going to be there. And I'm like, ah. You know, we saw the video of Kevin Nash. We never heard anything about Booker. And other than, I guess, he had canceled a convention appearance either at the one in California or somewhere in Louisiana. But as manager, I don't know. I don't remember him ever doing anything like that in the MIA and WCW or any other setup. I'd be intrigued to see if Charmel's along for the ride. I maybe see him get to the chamber just to be the odd duck in the chamber, and then if he wants to do, be a producer, because I believe he still has his training school in Texas and might be a lighter schedule for Good Payday. Him as a producer backstage? I don't know. It's a little too early to see. Let's get some Monday Night Raw and see if it's a situation of. As I said, look at the pop that Ricky Steamboat got out of the end of that WrestleMania where he came out with to be a part of the match against Chris Jericho, and then he ended up having a pay-per-view match the month after with Jericho. So
yeah.
Who knows? As I said, crowd pop was awesome, and it was a nice middle finger to our friends in Nashville. Love you, Dixie.
There you go. Yeah, I just want to say, hey, Stonehot, have yourself a great trip on the Texas run tomorrow. Good to see you again. Can't wait to see you keep coming back to the website a little bit more often. And dude, seriously, before you hit the sheet, go to Facebook and add us. Just giving a shout out.
Shameless shilling.
Joe Hardy, Joe.
Back to the Rumble.
From my homies, yo. Yeah, anyway, back to the Rumble. So where do we go from there? The other big surprise, really, at number 32, Big Daddy Cool.
Diesel, not Kevin Nash, even though that's the last time we saw him in the WWE.
I thought Saul was falling down going, ah, my leg.
Going back is Big Daddy Cool.
I will say this about Booker T real quick. Somebody managed mentioning JTG as a possible move for him. You know, it's been a long time since we've had a successful militant black man angle in the WWE.
Oh, boy, here it comes.
Oh, cool.
I know, I'm being dead serious. Back at the height of the whole faction war in the 90s, the earliest part of that was with the Nation of Domination and the going after Ahmed Johnson.
Yeah.
And at the time, I didn't understand the angle. Because I was like 12, you know? I didn't understand the whole Malcolm X thing, the references to Malcolm X or anything like that. And looking back on it, that was a really good psychological angle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a while since we've had something like that in the WWE. I could almost see them doing something like that with Booker T and JTG.
Hmm. The new Harlem Heat.
I don't know if Booker...
There would be perfect.
I don't know necessarily if Booker would wrestle, but if we're getting back to the sort of... I mean, SmackDown has their own faction, and... You know, Raw has their own factions, and for those storylines to work, you have to have somebody to war against. That's kind of why Evolution petered out the way it did, is because there wasn't a opposite faction to go against Evolution as far as power and you know what I mean?
Which is probably why they broke Evolution up as quickly as they did, yeah.
Yeah, so I could see, if you're going to put the group together, we'll just say, put it on Raw, for instance. You know, if you have, Booker T is kind of like the head. You put in JTG, you bring JTG over from SmackDown. You put R-Truth in there. And dare I say, Mark Henry? You know, that's a kind of really good faction there you got going on.
That's really not the worst of ideas that I've ever heard, to tell you the truth. That might actually work, but definitely something that we're going to mark down and discuss in depth on another show. Let's get through the rest of the Rumble here. Once again, talking Big Daddy Cool Diesel. And, yeah, it was Diesel, the black hair, the black goatee, the
I
white,
marked out.
wife beater. Who didn't mark out when Booker T came out?
I marked out for both of them, to be quite honest. I might have marked out just as hard as Stryker was marking out when Diesel came out. Because you heard that old Diesel engine start up and the horn and the old blues music behind it, dude. He come walking out, put that glove on. I was like, yes, yes, I am 12 years old again.
I have to admit, Omega, that I was stunned that he got the reception he got from the crowd. Was it because he came back as Diesel instead of coming back as Nash? What do you think?
I'm not sure if it's so much coming back as Diesel rather than Nash, but it was great to see him going back to the old gimmick, which they wanted to do that before. I mean, when they came back with the NWO and Kevin Nash, you know, going back into singles competition, they wanted him as Diesel. You know, he dyed the hair black and everything, and no, for some reason, never went with it. So I was kind of glad of them revisiting that, even if it ends up just being for one night. But maybe a little of that retro feel to him just made the crowd pop all that much more. They were huge into Diesel.
They were massively into Diesel, Mace.
Yeah, I'm surprised nobody else mentioned this, by the way. Nash dyeing his hair seemed to take about 12 or so years off his look. I was looking at Kevin Nash like he was back in WCW once again.
Yeah,
so he was 80 years old.
Yeah, I'm so used to seeing him as 7-foot Santa that I completely forgot that, you know, that's what he looked like as Diesel.
You know, last time we saw him in TNA actually wrestle, he didn't look like he was in that great a shape. You know what I mean? He had some flab to him. He didn't look that good. Tonight, he looked really good. You know, I mean, he actually had some muscle definition. He didn't, and it might have been partially, you know, the hair, but he didn't look like he belonged in a nursing home.
Hey, I'm just happy to say goodbye to the Silver Fox that he used to call himself, and welcome back, Diesel. Kick some ass, brother. I was like Spug. I was back to being a 12-year-old kid marking out.
Dude, you know what? One of my fondest memories of wrestling was when I was 10 or 11, maybe. It was WrestleMania 11. It was when Taylor fought Bam Bam. And the championship match for that was Diesel versus Shawn Michaels. And Diesel came out with Pam on his arm, and you know he had the fireworks behind him and everything. Like, dude, he just looked so badass. And the night when he put that glove on and held the arm up, I went back to that and I'm like, this is so awesome. Thank you, WWE.
So, yeah, and then
WWE can actually do something good for us once in a while.
Once in a while, off all the time.
Yeah. And of course, Diesel finally gets eliminated. And as he's eliminated, Big Show comes out at number 35. And they gave each other quite the stare down. So if they decide to keep Diesel around for a little while and use him at least through WrestleMania, there's your setup for a match between the two of them at Mania. Don't you guys think?
Oh, but if we want Nash to break his neck again, yeah.
Quick question for the WCW honks on the panel, because I am not one.
Okay.
Did they ever hook up in WCW?
Yes.
Broke his neck?
He did break Big Show's neck in a powerbomb spot from hell.
That was the jackknife. Okay, that was the other jackknife. All right.
That was the jackknife from hell, as it were. Yeah. So, but somewhere in the midst of all of this, we had Hornswoggle in the ring. He was teamed up with John Cena, number 22, number 23, and they, you know, did their own version of what next, what the new Nexus did.
It was so great.
More entertaining, but still dragged.
It did drag, but I have to say, you know, you're right, it was more entertaining. And for those of us who weren't initially into, you know, Hornswoggle being in the Rumble as an entrant, He kind of... Oh, Hornswoggle kind of won me over, Mace.
Not so much that won me over, but gave us some good little moments, like, you know, T.J. Wilson or Typhon Kid, the guy that's censoring our goddamn show, getting the attitude adjustment from Hornswoggle. I laughed my ass off. And then the other bit was CM Punk, though, kicking a midget in the face. That was fun.
Yeah, I avoided going to Spug on this one because we're talking about a midget, Spug.
Dude, it's a midget.
That's
midgets
right.
Make everything better. It's like sprinkles on ice cream.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just
really quickly, how many times did Hornswoggle deliver sweet shin music?
I counted 3.
At least. Right?
The better part of that is when Kofi came in, right?
Yeah.
And him and Kofi are working somebody over, Kofi used him as a step stool for the boom drop. When I heard Hornswoggle's music, because I wasn't looking at the screen at the time, I'm like, oh, Finley's coming out. And then I hear King go, Hornswoggle's in there? Dude, I'm like, holy shit, I gotta watch this now. So I start watching, and I'm like, oh my god, Mace was right. They really did put Hornswoggle in there, because we were talking last week about surprise entrance. And I remember Mace going, if they put Hornswoggle in there, Spug's gonna mark out so hard. And oh boy, I did. Oh.
Yeah. I think we all said that.
I already got the sounder. I don't need it.
Dude, I was like, they put the Hornswoggle in. I was like, yes! Oh my god! It was great. For a comedy bit in the middle of the Rumble, it was great.
Now, the one thing that strikes me on this, and I think WWE has some kind of Royal Rumble rule of only one midget in the ring at a time. Hornswoggle gets the look. You know where I'm going, yeah. Hornswoggle gets eliminated only to have Rey Mysterio come in. We go from one midget to another.
It's some kind of height quota for the Rumble match.
Rey Mysterio must certainly count as a midget.
Yeah, you must be this tall. I mean, go ahead. Rey Mysterio is a midget. He's an 8-year-old. Just ask Kurt Angle.
Dude, I'm sorry, but I shouldn't have 3 inches on a world champion, okay?
All right,
2-year-old's got inches on Ray.
Don't even touch that one.
Have we gotten up to Chavito yet? Or have we completely glossed him over?
Oh, that was awesome.
Chavo's coming out with the 3 amigos. He delivered how many? 12?
He got 2 amigos. He never got the, it took him forever to get to the 3.
He got to the... Chavito was early in the Rumble. Chavo was number 10.
Chavo
was early in the Rumble.
Yeah.
As one of our listeners in the chat room pointed out, he didn't look like a fool for once, which is a complete surprise.
How'd y'all like the little Eddie strut after we got the 3 amigos off?
That was awesome. I was glad the crowd popped for it.
A buddy of mine lives in Boston. His name's Joey, so shout out to him because I know he's listening. Through the website on his iPhone on the way home from the Garden. But
cool.
He was at the Rumble tonight, and he texted me. I think I have it here. Hold on, because that's who was texting me earlier when you asked me about the Raw GM. His text for the Chavito was, oh, where is it here? I got like, oh, holy shit at Morrison, and Jesus Christ, Chavito is awesome.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, as far as Chavito coming out and he's doing the Eddie strut, it's really nice that WWE actually does that. It's not just them acknowledging fan favorites who have passed on. It's them acknowledging those of us who fondly remember these guys that we miss so much. And it's a bit of a double tip of the hat, don't you think?
Hey, it was better than Vicky Guerrero trying to do a frog splash.
Oh, God.
Oh, go ahead.
I am glad that Chavo, see, like, it's unfortunate that Chavo has been so underused in the WWE as of late, but thanks to that, people have kind of forgotten, oh yeah, he used to be a heel last time we saw him. So, you know, they used to boo when he pulled out Three Amigos. So I was kind of glad that he'd been gone long enough that now it's not stealing from his uncle, it's a tribute to his uncle. And the crowd can actually acknowledge that for a change.
I wish they'd give back Pepe.
Pepe's gone. Anything but Kerwin White, dude. That was the biggest botch ever.
Bring back Pepe. Dude, him coming out with Pepe was gold.
Maybe they'll induct Pepe into the WWE Hall of Fame since he'll be in Atlanta.
If you could put Pepe with Chavito in a tag team with Santino Marella, comedy gold. Gold! And
Speaking of comedy gold, you know the tag team match that I wish would happen, but it didn't happen because both guys were on different shows? Chavo and Pepe versus Al Snow and Head.
That would be a good one, too.
Now, it should have been Saturn and Moppy. They could have had a sword fight during the match.
Triple
during the threat. Match.
Real quickly to your point, Tim, about them paying homage to guys from the past.
Yeah.
I got the history of the WWE Championship DVD for Christmas, which goes up to like 2007, 2008, I believe, is the last year that it covers. Owen Hart versus Bret Hart in the steel cage match is on there.
Oh yeah, SummerSlam 94, baby.
I forgot how good that match was.
Yeah, I was about to say, Spug, say whatever the hell you want about the Harts, and yeah, we know that Bret's not your, he's one of your favorite whipping boys nowadays. There's no way in hell even the biggest Hart hater can say that match is shit.
You misunderstand. Don't call Hart a whipping boy. He's not necessarily a whipping boy. I just think he's a tad overrated, that's all.
Let me just clarify. I wasn't saying that you were using him as a whipping boy. I'm talking about all the other, you know, the major HBK marks to the point where they downplay Bret's significance. Call him overrated.
All right, hold on. Before we go down this path, because it's a slippery slope and we're going to end up swearing at each other about 1997, I will say this real quickly, and I want people to listen very clearly, because I might cause a heart attack or two.
Uh-oh.
Without Bret Hart in the 90s, there is no Shawn Michaels as we know him today.
You were recording that, right, Rock? This is live to be played back from the annals of time. He just said that.
This is recorded.
Wow.
I'm being dead serious. Without Bret Hart in the 90s, there is no Shawn Michaels today. Because for all intents and purposes, in the very first ladder match on Monday Night Raw with Shawn Michaels for the Intercontinental title to the Iron Man match, Bret Hart helped make Shawn Michaels what he was.
And then was told to get the hell out of my effing ring at WrestleMania 12.
I'm not saying Shawn Michaels wasn't a cocky son of a bitch. Bret Hart had a lot to do with helping Shawn Michaels become what he was. But back to the original point, the Owen Hart match, and we always rail on WWE for not having blood in their matches today. They went that whole match, Owen and Bret both, went that entire match without bleeding once.
Yeah, this is true. There was a hell of a lot of fantastic series of chain wrestling segments throughout that entire 65-minute Iron Man match.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing that really gets shot down a little bit too much, I think, nowadays. Is you know, chain wrestling isn't given the due that it deserves anymore.
Would anyone would have been upset? You talk about truth. Would anyone have been upset if Bret Hart was one of the holy crap he's in the Royal Rumble thing?
Yes.
It would have bothered you. Okay.
No, it wouldn't have bothered me. Well, I don't want to say that it would have bothered me. I don't think the Royal Rumble is the proper place for Bret Hart for the simple fact of his health nowadays.
Well, yeah, it'd be seen as a stupid move.
Yeah.
Yeah, the dude with his health issues, it'd be stupid to put him in that match.
Yeah.
One wrong kick or one wrong swinging leg to the head, and you got him stroking out in the middle of the ring.
Yeah, not to mention how hard it would be to eliminate the guy over the top rope and not knock him in the head on the way down.
Although, you could have a few individuals on the outside and kind of, like, maybe gorilla press him over and have him catch him. I mean, that might be a way to eliminate him. But overall, not a good idea to put Bret Hart in the ring. Just not.
But it was okay to have Kevin Nash in there. People don't remember the last time Nash was ever in a WWE ring.
He took a kick
and ripped his leg apart.
Kevin Nash didn't have two strokes and have his career ended by an idiot named Goldberg in the middle of a ring from a bad kick to the head.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin Nash has chronically had bad knees. There's a difference. Mm-hmm. Kevin Nash is not going to die in the middle of the ring from a bad knee. Bret Hart could die in the middle of the ring from an induced stroke.
Yeah, just a tiny little bit of a difference there, wouldn't you say?
Sure.
Yeah. So why don't we skip ahead, take a look at the end of the Rumble, wrap it up, take another break, and then come back for quick hits before we say goodnight.
Sure.
Sounds good to me. Santino Marella comes out, and lo and behold, he didn't tie his record for fastest elimination ever in the Royal Rumble with 1 second.
Santino.
How many people marked out and started chanting Cobra? I know we all did.
Oh, jeez. I wanted to see it so bad.
He's quickly becoming my favorite wrestler, by the way.
Santino's gold, period.
Didn't he try it on Ezekiel Jackson, and that's how he ended up on the floor to begin with?
Ezekiel took him down, yep.
I thought he tried the Cobra on Ezekiel, and because of Ezekiel's neck, it didn't go.
No, Ezekiel took him down and, dropped like a stone, rolls out the bottom rope. And I'm thinking, okay, no. We haven't seen the last of Santino. And I was saying in a, I was talking in other chat rooms during the pay-per-view, including this one place. As a matter of fact, a lot of people actually came here tonight from there. It's Ostream's pay-per-view.yolasite.com. Just wanted to throw that link out there as a bit of a return favor for actually pimping us out tonight. But talking to a few people, and they're all saying, "Oh, you know, Santino, he's out. Where's Santino?" And I'm saying, he went under the bottom rope. He's not eliminated. Watch the end of the match. Sure enough, Alberto Del Rio thinks he wins.
How many people, first of all, and I'll let this go the moment I make the comment, but how many people, first of all, wait, a false finish in the Royal Rumble? Huh, never saw that coming, and forgot about that Santino was actually there underneath the ring when Del Rio won.
Yeah, because throughout the last part of that match, the announcers were intentionally forgetting that he'd slipped out underneath. You know, they're going, okay, there's only 4 men left, but, you know, in the back of your head, they didn't want you to go, but wait, Santino didn't go over the top.
Oh, I literally forgot Santino was still in the match. Until I saw his head peek up underneath the bottom rope. I went, oh yeah, Santino's still in it. Go! Go!
A little hard to forget the fake Italian unibrowed guy outside the ring, but okay.
Well, when he went out, and this is what I laughed about, because Alex Riley got eliminated, right? And immediately after that, you hear Cole talking about how he likes Alex Riley's chances to win the Royal Rumble.
I don't think they showed it on video, him,
yeah,
Alex Riley getting booted.
If you watch, Alex Riley goes from center of the ring camera angle, Alex Riley is in the right side back corner, and I think it was Ezekiel Jackson puts a mountain up over the turnbuckle, and out he goes onto his ass.
As I have it written in my notes, Alex Riley eliminated by Stryker, saying he was, because he really didn't make
exactly
a big deal about
it.
Just wanted to point that out.
Hey, do you want the commentating table to eliminate people? How do I know that Stryker didn't do it?
He got eliminated by Ezekiel Jackson, I do believe is who it was. And, you know, he goes out over the top turnbuckle, and they're talking about Cole, they're talking about, he's talking to the Miz about he liked Alex Rossi's chances to win the Royal Rumble. I'm like, you idiot, he just got eliminated.
Well, we didn't see Cole wasn't on camera at the time. I'm sure his head wasn't in view of the ring at the moment. Not with Miz sitting right there.
Talking about all the children that the Miz and him looked down to.
Yeah, I don't think that Michael Cole was looking down on too much is what Omega was looking was alluding to.
Yeah, so a lot of our funny chances are that.
Omega!
Wow.
Okay, on that note, we've got a caller. Hey, caller, who's this and where are you calling from?
It's the original so-called Black Oreo original of WTR. What's going on? It's our friend Mike.
Can't you just say original Negro?
I can't because normally you would make jokes on that, Spug, and I know you.
I'm still going to call you a Negro and make jokes about your black heritage.
What's going on, guys?
What's up, Mike? First and foremost,
this Royal Rumble was a total and utter clusterfuck. To be totally honest, why in the hell would you have Booker T in the middle and then Kevin Nash in, like, damn near the end when knowing good and well they need to be making a big impact on the return? Now, the way that they've made Booker T and, I'm sorry, Diesel make a return, it's kind of like Zach Gowen and Colin Delaney are making their return, but who gives a fuck about them? And Go ahead.
I wouldn't necessarily refer to Kevin Nash as Colin Delaney. One's a Hall of Famer, one's not. Just okay. Saying.
I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. My bad. But the ending of the Royal Rumble kind of reminded me of when they pulled one with, I think it was Ernest the Cat Miller. They were expecting Ernest the Cat to win, but the next thing you know, he goes out of the ring, and they're like, oh no, he's not going to win. Because honestly, like, I literally got up out of my chair and was like wanting Santino to win, and I was like, okay, come on, Santino, if you pull this Cobra to get your ass into WrestleMania, I am your biggest fan. I will stalk you, do whatever. But if you win, yeah. But Alberto Del Rio, no. That first and foremost, he's only been in WWE for, like, what, 6 months?
Five.
Not even.
Close enough. And he's already won the Royal Rumble. Now, granted, he probably did something in the back, you know, to help out with production and stuff. That's fine. But I kind of don't think he's ready for headlining WrestleMania.
Still got to get to WrestleMania from here. You still got a pay-per-view and a buttload of Raw and SmackDowns to get there, man.
Well, Mike, I'll throw it like this. Doesn't mean he's the actual main event.
Every now and then they pull a fast one. Every now and then, you know, they'll do what I absolutely hate, which is put up the WrestleMania title shot like it's a championship, like it can be passed from person to person, which I hate, but please, dear God, please, please do it this time.
This Royal Rumble this year, they've basically been pulling shit out of their ass. First and foremost, wait a minute, I have news from the Raw General Manager. All right, instead of you guys fighting a two-on-one, we're going to have a fatal four-way for the Divas Championship, or as I like to call it, a piss break.
You have...
Or you can call it that.
Don't steal that from us, Mike. We might make a sound clip out of you.
Piss off. And then the Royal Rumble, you know, I was, no offense to anyone who doesn't, who hates Wade Barrett. To be perfectly honest, I would have preferred Wade Barrett to win the Royal Rumble.
I think a lot of us would have.
Because it's kind of like, all right, so I go back to Raw, and I'm going to take control of the Nexus. That way, I could be WWE champion and headline WrestleMania, and I can take control of the core and the Nexus. But no, they're not going to do that.
But if you go into what we already talked about, I don't know if they talk about it on here, but on World of Wrestling Radio, we talked about a few weeks ago when they were in Birmingham, Alabama. Undertaker was in attendance, and unless the tea leaves are differently at WrestleMania, you're going to see Wade Barrett versus Taker. That's probably why Barrett didn't get where he did.
Oh, God. That
really Ed might actually be a good match, but I will say this, Mike. Did you have any grape drink at the Royal Rumble?
Oh, God.
It was Turkey Hill fun. Now shut the hell up.
Were you drinking the grape drink?
No, it was Turkey Hill.
He was drinking Turkey Hill. Quit picking on my friend.
Dude just came in with the best impression we've had on this show so far. Don't pick on him now.
Can you nominate him late for a WTR award for that Barrett impression?
But he is up for Fan of the Year. Go vote. WildTalkRadio.com/WTR award.
He is up for Fan of the Year.
Really?
Yes.
Well, you didn't know that you were up for a WTR award?
We'll see. Rockville didn't mention that.
Well, none of us knew we were up for WAR award, WRA awards.
He's working on CPT. He would have shown up to the awards a month late.
Oh, God, shut the hell up.
Oh, shit. Damn.
Dude, why do you think Flava Flav had a clock that big so he could get to places on time?
Oh, wow.
Flava Flav, where does he have to be? Anywhere.
Yeah, nobody put
him up. Unless it's the unemployment office.
Or the child support agency.
That was ODB.
You wee bastards.
And I don't mean the wrestler.
Where Flava Flav has to be, he has opened his own chicken restaurant in Iowa.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Flava Flav chicken. Oh my God.
Let's just
wrote out jerks for us.
He did too. He's like, here, WTR guys, I got you jokes. They already written. I mean,
boy,
that's doing it. You decline. I'm doing it.
That'd be like Mark Henry opening up a KFC restaurant.
No.
Subway.
No. Mark Henry has KFC, while Matt Hardy has Popeyes.
No. Matt Hardy invests in Waffle Houses. It's easier to kill them.
Grapes. What I heard was that diet. Grapes.
Yeah, it's Waffle House is far closer to his fan base.
Oh.
Hey. You listen to the girls popping for him in TNA and tell me I'm not right.
Dude, now available at thehardyshow.com.
Dude, that's not girls marking out for him. That's their fucking zippers letting loose because they ate too much. It's gold before they came to the show.
You did. Who
thinks of lower tonight? Fucking Omega, man. I was like, wow.
Welcome to Dork Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome to Wrestle Talk Radio, where nobody's safe. We insult everybody equally, and if you don't like it, go fuck yourself.
Regal Opportunity Offenders T-shirt.
And all of them just watch content that was with die.
Boom, just like that. My God, good job, Spug. You're going to be featured in different content.
That's fine. Did it give me? I can go raid.
You can join Maverick.
No.
Who's that guy?
Oh, no. You know, like Alan said, who's that guy? I mean, we would not send Spud to oblivion. We don't hate him that much, usually.
Limbo.
Most of the time.
So
go ahead, Spud.
Mike, I have to ask. When you were watching the Rumble tonight, and Booker T came out.
Yes, Doug.
Did you get up off my couch and you're like, that's my nigga! That's my nigga right there!
Oh, yes, I did, and I will gladly admit it.
Hey, would you like to know what I did when Mike called in?
I'm scared.
What, Tim?
I said, hi, caller, who are you and where'd you come from? Suckers! Gotcha.
We're lame, Starling. Tim's not going to be heard.
Rock, have a cricket chirping for every time Tim makes a joke.
That wasn't a joke. You guys were expecting one, but I didn't deliver. Ha ha.
You never deliver.
No,
I never deliver. Never on air. I save my best stuff for, you know, like when we're not broadcasting live.
No, you really don't, because it's the same week as shit. We just kind of fake laugh a little bit more off the air to make you feel better about yourself.
Wow.
You are such a...
Weren't we talking about a pay-per-view at one point, guys?
We called in and derailed us.
Nobody cares.
Yeah, Mike called in and derailed us, and it's not my fault. It's Spug's fault, because Spug just has to do, you know, go all racial on his ass.
Spug does this every time I talk to him, so...
He does.
I'm used to this.
So, I don't know, man. He's like a bitch. So, anyway, before we let you go, Mike, and wrap up our pay-per-view talk, what are you grading the pay-per-view tonight?
-4.
Oh, come on.
Dude, it's better than that.
Sorry. It really just disappointed me. How do you put the World Heavyweight Championship match first? That's just...
There's four matches on the card.
I understand that. But
You weren't going to start off with the Divas, Mike. You needed something hot to get the crowd going, and the first match tonight was pretty hot.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
The first match was pretty good. And what I will say is that at the Royal Rumble match, the highlight of the Royal Rumble match was when John Morrison did his free running techniques. That was pretty badass.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Whoever in the WWE recently said that he wasn't ready to main event needs to be shot.
No kidding.
Core training, man. We all need to do it.
Well, hey, you know, John Morrison was my choice to win the Rumble, and I was incorrect in the pick. But I only picked him because I think, myself at least, that he is ready. And I've already based my case on why I think so.
He's ready. I believe he is ready. After all the hell that he went through with fighting Sheamus and all that,
yeah.
He should have won the Rumble, not that. Bastard Alberto Del Rio. JBL.
5 fucking months in the company. They didn't push Brock Lesnar that hard.
No.
Not even going there.
I mean, I know SmackDown is completely drained of talent. They're just it's a wasteland over there right now, and they're just struggling to put anyone in a top card that makes sense in the slightest bit. But how the hell do you justify someone who's only been there 5 months and you didn't even use him for a good chunk of that time and say that he's ready when you've got guys like John Morrison busting his ass and, you know, putting on a highlight reel every night and they're going, no, not yet. How the fuck do you get away with that?
All right, Omega. If you're trying to put talent on the roster, right?
Yeah.
On the SmackDown roster. I'm trying to put anybody in there that you can fit because Triple H is gone. Undertaker's gone. The only real credible heel you have over on SmackDown right now is Wade Barrett. What do you do with Del Rio other than give him the Rumble win? How do you put him in a title picture at Mania?
You don't. He's a year off at least from being
so anywhere. Who should have won the Rumble in your eyes then?
It should have been Barrett. It should have been. At least he's got a lot of
time. Wade Barrett should have been winning the Rumble. Sorry, continue.
Oh yeah, that impression is awesome, dude.
That's wild. Really good Barrett.
Dead on.
Yeah, no, Mike could do a good Wade Barrett, and I think you should call in as Wade Barrett sometime.
If only you could sound less black.
Oh, you...
We went 3 minutes without
without something. Mike, before this turns into something that's going to cause riots and watts, we're going to let you go.
Okay. It was nice talking to you guys, and all I have to say is the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels will always be the best. And I will see you guys later.
That later. Cool. Thanks for calling in. Everybody, we call him Heartbreak Mike. He's the original WTR Oreo. If you haven't been listening, then you don't know what the hell we're talking about. But basically, we've always accused Mike of being black only on the outside. Long story, a lot of fun. He's a great guy and always good for always good stuff whenever he calls in.
Tim.
What?
Do I need to explain to our listening audience what an Oreo is?
Wow, man.
Back to the Rumble.
Quick, on topic, on topic. Quick, get back to the Rumble. Get back to the Rumble.
With a daddy black man.
No. Somebody mute his mic.
And a mommy white woman.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's enough. We've already got, we don't need any more trouble, Spud.
You could say she decreed too.
That's enough.
Oh, God, the letters, the letters.
Please send all hate mail to admin@wildtalkradio.com.
The views expressed by the guy we call Spud don't necessarily reflect anybody else on the planet, including the rest of us.
Oh, I know who I picked as I thought was going to win, and I know who Mace picked, and we know who Omega picked, but what did the rest of us pick, and who was right? Because I think Mace and I were right?
For the winners of the Rumble? Are you talking about?
Yeah.
The
right Rumble winner.
Yeah, you guys are the only two to pick the winner of the Rumble. Spud wasn't even close.
Yeah, but you don't get anything for your picks. So.
He was, I'll be honest, he was a pick that I just said, you know, he's been, as Omega said, and as Harvey Mike said, and everyone else has said, he's been forced down the fan throat since day one, including that internal email that got leaked about him being posted on WWE.com about, we're supposed to be pushing this guy really hard, right? Oh.
That was posted, yeah, by Joey Styles by accident. I think it was Joey.
The question is, you know, with, I believe Mystico was the next Hispanic talent that was recently signed, if that's true or not.
That is true.
If he is, and I said this Tuesday night when we were talking history of WWE and other stuff about Del Rio, he almost reminds me of Triple H back in the day about how Bret Hart once said that, you know, Triple H will never be a babyface. And you know, many people are saying that right now about this guy, just like many people said about MVP, how are you going to turn this guy face eventually? He is so perfect. He's a great talker that he is my, if I'm WWE, ambassador to the Latin American countries. And they're out there. You know, Mexico is a great stop for WWE. South America is a great stop. Turn Del Rio at some point face and let him take over from Rey Mysterio, who keeps having to have parts replaced and will possibly be in Terminator 5, which may be coming soon to a theater near you. And maybe in the minority here, but just the heel that he gets and Rodriguez gets is great, and it's entertaining, and I'm not surprised he won.
Now,
I don't know what the rest of us do. Go ahead.
No. See, now, I would love that if at some point if they eventually do try and figure out how to turn his face, they go the same route the MVP did, you know, where they took away his pyro. You can't afford any of this anymore. We're going to take away your pyro. We're going to take away your bouncy ball room. And we're just going to make you just plain old wrestler now and work your way back up in the fans' eyes. And it worked for MVP really well. I wish they'd do the same thing with Del Rio, you know, where, like, tonight he came out in a Bentley, then eventually he'll come out in, like, a Mustang, and then an old Saturn, then a busted-up Buick, then comes out in a go-kart, a tricycle, skateboard, you know, just work your way down.
Beer cooler.
Dude, you give him a 72 lemon yellow Pinto. Oh, did I strike a little bit too close to home with that reference, Tim? I wasn't even trying. Oh, I win!
Well, what I wanted to hear from everyone else is I know who Omega said he wanted Barrett was obviously the rest of the room.
Here's the reason.
Barrett, that Del Rio got his spot because he was just 5 months in the company. This hasn't been done before. You know, you had Eminem get into tag belts really fast.
Tag belts,
you
not
had
the
people.
Highlight, not the core of WrestleMania.
All right, so Alberto Del Rio wins the Royal Rumble 2011. Everybody thinking, oh, there might be a swerve. Santino's coming out. He's not eliminated yet. He shows up. Hey, Alberto, you didn't win. Gets the Cobra, however, eliminates Santino, and he's going to WrestleMania, kids. Bottom line, end of story, end of the day.
Goddamn dying to see him wrestle there.
I don't know
what Raw's going to put on for a main event, but it's got to be fucking huge to make up for that.
Go ahead, Spud, really quick. Go ahead.
I don't think Del Rio's going to make it to Raw, or to Mania. I don't think he's going to make it to Mania.
And to further what you were saying, I was going to say really quickly was I would have absolutely no problems seeing Del Rio lose some kind of a stipulation match where he has to give up his victory. That being said, everybody, you're listening to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, Wrestle Talk Radio, in contention for Show of the Year, and we would like you to vote in the Wild Talk Radio Awards. All you got to do is click on that little yellow banner at the top of chat. You'll go to the awards page, and you go and vote for Host of the Year. That would be me, Tim Stein. Show of the Year, that would be Wrestle Talk Radio, WTR Sunday Night. Fan of the Year, Ranter of the Year, Show Moment. Things like Alan Wojcik actually hanging up on his own show. They're great examples of your show moment.
Or favorite show segment, win Tim Stein.
Which is WTR? No, don't win Tim. No, you want to vote for... you want to vote for, like, the WTR Great
win
Debate?
Win Tim Stein shit.
No.
Win Tim Stein shit.
Guys,
win Tim Stein.
All right, shut up, all of you. Okay, this is not CB Radio. I am allowed to at least once before the awards end promote WrestleTalk Radio and the shit that I want to win. So
win Tim Stein shit.
Yes, please win Tim Stein shit. Where we play on CB Radio, where you can have drunk calls all the time, like last Saturday. Tune in, vote CB Radio.
Okay, there you go. Tune in and vote for Wrestle Talk Radio for Show of the Year. And, of course, you're truly and Host of the Year. WTR Awards. And the balloting is still going on.
And
That being said, quick final thoughts on the pay-per-view. Wrap it up. Start with Mace.
Well, despite all the problems that we've had with, you know, people entering who won and everything else, I believe that we can all agree that at least the Royal Rumble was entertaining, which is what we have been wanting from this match for the last couple of weeks.
Entertainment.
Exactly. The Royal Rumble, it's one of those times where you just turn around and go, you know what, forget all the dirt sheets, forget all the crap that goes on in the storylines. I want to see 30, 40 people beat the crap out of each other. It's fun! And in doing so, it entertained me thoroughly. This pay-per-view gets a B+ from me.
There you go, B+ from me. Spug.
I'll give it a B+. It was good. The Royal Rumble's always fun. It's one of those events where you can just kind of throw everything out, because there's going to be a surprise entrant or two that you're going to mark out real hard for every time. So, I mean, the Royal Rumble is just a fun event.
There you go. Well, all right. Alan.
I'll give it a B. The Divas thing was a total waste of space. I understand why it was there. The situation with Punk, Orton, and Miz also was just, definitely felt, as I said earlier, Ziggler is ready.
whether he have Vicky and the Excuse Me with him, and that I don't have a problem with Del Rio as winning. I'm the minority, but then again, hey, so is Alberto Del Rio.
There you go. All right. Go Omega.
C plus.
Really?
Ooh. I don't know. There's some great spots in the pay-per-view. You had a lot of really high moments, and you had some solid championship matches. But at the same time, you completely wasted anything in the Divas match. It was a complete waste of time, a waste of more talent. I say talents with air quotes, because the most talented one was getting beaten up by twins backstage. You had a Rumble match where 40 guys in the match, we were promised the biggest match of all time. We were with 40 guys, I was looking forward to, you know, the ring piling up, people going all over the place, what you'd expect in a Royal Rumble match. And we had, two lulls in the match where it was just ganging up, tossing the new guy out, and then waiting for the next one. It wasn't just the Nexus, it was Cena and Swoggle of all people doing it. It was Otunga all the way to, who was it that broke it in? Kofi Kingston. And you had a good 11 spots right there in the dead middle of the match where there was no Rumble match. There was just ganging up and throwing somebody out. It was like watching two different Battle Royals in one night. Completely killed it for me.
All right. C plus from Omega. Wow. Is Will alive? Has anybody heard from him?
He's in rehab.
No, he's dead. Move on. Yeah, I think he might have died in rehab, sitting beside Charlie Sheen. Anyway, I got to say that, this year's Royal Rumble pay-per-view gets an A- for furthering storylines and actually developing what they want to get developed up to WrestleMania, but overall, I got to give it a B-.
Excuse me!
Stop doing that! B-minus for the Royal Rumble pay-per-view for me.
Wait, what was it, Tim? What did you say?
Shut up.
Excuse me!
Oh.
That. All right, you guys, it's time for quick hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
All right, not wasting any time at all. We're going to just dive right into it. Mace, your first question. It's a TNA question.
Yay.
Right.
Here we go. Jeff Hardy or Mr. Anderson? Who walks out champion this Thursday?
Who walks out champion this Thursday?
Okay. Yes, their matchup is...
They're wrestling a title match. Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
Anderson versus Hardy. World title this Thursday on Impact.
Note to self. Actually pay attention during Impact.
There you
Thursday,
go.
Thursday, Thursday.
Tickets available at your local Ticketmaster.
As for who walks out with the belt, I'm going to keep it on Anderson at the moment because, frankly, the crackhead kid gets back on pay-per-view so they can make a bigger spectacle about it.
Okay, there you go, Mr. Anderson retained. Bug!
Yes?
It's been 10 years since the debut of the XFL.
Uh-huh.
What was your favorite thing about the XFL?
The non-kickoff.
Where the two guys ran for the ball?
Yeah, the scrum at the beginning. Throw the ball down the field, let them fight over it. That was always entertaining.
Because
inevitably, one guy would have a good long lead and head, on the other guy, and be almost to the ball and slip and fall on his ass and go skittering past it.
How many times do we see that?
So, by far the kickoff was always entertaining and interesting.
Okay, the thing that I enjoyed the most about the XFL was the fact the players were allowed to put anything on their jerseys if for the name. He hate me. Why you got that? Because he hate me. He hate me. I beat his ass. He hate me.
He actually has a Super Bowl ring.
Cool. Rod Smart.
Mm-hmm. He was on the Patriots. He was on the Panthers, but he went to the Patriots for like a season and got a Super Bowl ring with the Patriots.
Yeah, believe it or not. Yeah. So, okay, Omega, next question is yours. What, in your opinion, is the biggest disappointment in wrestling?
The biggest disappointment in wrestling? There's a lot of answers to this.
No, it's got to be the biggest, not one of the biggest.
The biggest? The absolute
How
biggest?
How much time do you have?
The absolute biggest?
Honestly, the way they're handling it right now, and especially after tonight, it's the non-push of John Morrison. How fucking talented does a guy have to be in order to get attention? But apparently, all you have to do is whine to management that you're not getting pushed, and, you know, they'll put you in WrestleMania.
Oh, maybe John Morrison should start whining, don't you think?
No.
Or maybe he should just stop walking out to the ring in slow motion.
He needs to stop impressing people every night, because that's definitely not getting him over with the
definitely,
management.
Yeah. So, John Morrison, the lesson that you should take from us here at WTR is take a couple nights off.
Take lessons from Del Rio. Do absolutely nothing interesting. Bitch all the time, and be a completely one tone. You know, be a completely one dimensional character, and then you get to win Royal Rumble.
There you go. All right, moving on. Alan, your question: if you were ever to compete in a Royal Rumble, what would your Royal Rumble strategy be?
Milk it. I never understand these guys that barrel their way and run into the Rumble. I'd be standing out there going, whoops, okay, I don't have to get in here, do I? Keep rolling in and out from underneath and pick and choose my spots, and hopefully I would survive more than the 2 seconds Santino did.
1 second, that's the record.
Tim.
Yeah.
Omega has a question for you.
Fuck you.
Ooh.
I get to go first.
Yes, you do get to go first.
Tim, since you bragged about it, tell a good joke.
The thing.
Oh, that was good.
Omega, you're actually going to start getting paid for doing 2 shows on this network. Back up to Spud.
No.
What? No, no, no.
No, no. Tell your joke. Come on.
That,
tell
I did. I told the joke.
No, I fully expect that. Tell an actual joke.
Oh, fuck. Put me on the spot. Jesus Christ.
You make us do promos. You make us come up with matches.
I give you guys time to do so.
We get 60 seconds. You got 60 seconds. Tell a fucking good joke.
Oh, fuck.
Make me laugh, funny man.
I don't suppose that I could steal from George Carlin, eh?
No.
No.
Damn it. I'm thinking.
You had time to Google a joke site by now.
Yeah, I probably should have done that, eh?
And to the use to Chris in the chat room, we're not letting him his time run out. He actually has to tell one.
Yeah.
We'll be here all night.
Get the rest of us done and then let him buy some time.
No, because just go with it, Alan.
Okay.
Go with it.
Apparently you're supposed to go with it, Alan.
Hey!
Meow. Meow.
Is this joke going to be on a stick at any point?
Jose Jalapeno on East Geek.
No, don't drop me, because then I would be Jose Jalapeno on the floor. Do a little dance, we got sofa.
What's up?
Just for what?
Oh my god. Engelbert slapped you back.
Tina, that's terrible. Not with the right kind of tip.
What Bunwala?
Welcome to Open Mic Night. Over here we have Eddie Izzard. Over here we have Jeff Dunham.
Do not close the door. There are cockroaches on each geek.
One big one. Have you found a joke yet?
We've given you so much time here.
Well, if you guys ever shut up, I'll tell you a blonde joke.
All right, come on, out with it.
All right, blonde's having sharp pains in her side. The doctor examined her, said, hey, you've got acute appendicitis. Blonde yelled at the doctor, I come here for medical help, not to get a stupid compliment.
Wah, 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 wah. Just pass it and move on. We're going to be here all night.
Yes, moving on.
That is so fun.
It was funny at one time, 40 years ago. So it counts.
I suppose. I guess I was next.
No. Tim, go ask your question.
No, that's what I'm saying. I guess my question was next. Like, I'm getting asked now.
Yes.
What about the blondes with the bruises around her belly button? Turns out she's got a blonde boyfriend, too.
Again. This
what about
like,
the blonde that went to her mom and said, Mom, I think I'm pregnant. And her blonde mother says, oh, my goodness, are you sure it's yours?
This, folks, right here is Tim Stein being a Canadian. Vote for it in the WTR Awards.
Yeah, this is me being a Canadian? God.
Fug! Yes.
If you could mix two breeds of animal to make some kind of a fucking super animal, what would the two animals be?
Three. I'd mix three.
You can only mix two.
Damn it. Can I get three?
Two.
But I want a man bear pig.
Two.
Man bear pig!
You can make man bear, man pig, or bear pig. Can't make three.
Oh, boy.
You know what? Totally, I would make the next platypus. Because God just fucked with Darwin so hard right there when he made the platypus. So, I would take the reptilian qualities of a snake, and I'd mix it with a pig. We'd have snig.
A snig.
Chat room says cat dog, and another JT Dean says bear pig. The bacon's so delicious, it can kill you.
That's a good one. I'm stealing that. Bear
great
pig.
Advertising slogan. Get going, JT Dean. All right, Mace.
Oh, yo.
I just read. If you were a body piercing, what part of the box would you like to be on?
Whoa.
What is this?
Whoa.
If you were. What the fuck?
Well, you'd have to go with a clit piercing, so you're always close to pussy.
That you can be lethal sometimes.
Well, if you're like a ring piercing there, then it's like you're now the door knocker to the gates of heaven. You see,
it's just to get even, Omega. If that was your joke, I'd probably wind up saying that's probably as close to pussy as you'd ever get.
Okay, Omega. On your next YouTube video, can you please do us a favor? And do a spinneroony.
Have you seen my room? I take out $5,000 of merchandise on one spin.
Okay. Here's a real question. If you were WWE, what would you actually do with Booker T?
I do like the idea of him being in a managerial role. The trick to him is he actually has wrestling ability in him still. And he was moving a lot better than Diesel was tonight. I'd almost want to book him more along the lines of like a Ric Flair and the Horsemen, where he's kind of a manager, kind of in the lead, but he'll still get in there and take care of business himself. Like, I don't know if you go the Militant Black angle route with PG WWE, but I do like the idea of giving him this staple that he would be, you know, kind of the godfather of.
That's pretty good. Tim, are you actually asking questions now, or do I have to continue?
Alan's next, right?
Yes, Alan's next.
Alan, what's the best thing right now in TNA?
DX division. There's not much left. You made a mockery of your heavyweight division with that belt. You don't want to call it a belt. You've already screwed your they version 2 by two of it showing up here tonight. So your knockout division is pretty much should be knocked out as it was by Madison Rayne on Thursday night, which was funny as crap. But the York division is it. I like Kazarian being your champ, and you've got Jimmy, the Bucks, or whatever you want to call them, Jay Lethal, and Amazing Red, and so many others that you can throw in there. You can almost throw Joe back into the mix if you wanted to, and that's it. I've always been a fan of the X division, and I laughed for about 5 seconds when that thing came across about Dixie killing the X Division. Dixie kills the X Division. The X Division wrestlers will riot.
And that's the best thing about TNA right now, in your opinion. And that, everybody, is Quick Hits. This brings us to the close of the BTR Sunday night. I want to thank you all for tuning in. Special thanks goes out to ozstreams.webs.com. Once again, everybody, check them out. And once you check them out, you know why you should check them out. ozstreams.webs.com. Thanks very much to you, Chris. Much appreciated for everything that you did for us tonight. And that being said, what have you got going on Tuesday night, Alan?
Anthony Castellano of the Steel Cage from New York Newsday will be joining us. Bug and Mace, if they're allowed out, are going to join us. You will not?
No, because okay. Armageddon is supposed to be hitting the Midwest again.
Oh, Lord.
Sorry. We'll talk about that off the air, because Jesus Christ, if it hits like it's supposed to, you may not see me for an entire week.
We will continue with WrestleMania memories in some form or fashion. Go to the WTR site. You can also go to owradio.com for archives of our recent interviews with the model Rick Martel, which Bug and I had a blast doing. That guy was so damn cool. Lanny Poffo's there, Serena Deeb's there, George Animal Steel, Brutus Barber Beefcake, and also Mercedes Martinez and Angel Orsini are there. They had a knockdown dragout 41 minute ladder match to possibly blow off their feud in WSU. So check us out. I'm still working on some stuff. We've got some stuff as we head towards WrestleMania that involve other promotions that unfortunately aren't around anymore. I'll just leave it at that.
There you go. No WWE Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network Tuesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern. And then, of course, Wednesday night, Omega. You've got OTL.
Yeah, we do. Geek Talk at its finest, or as close as we can come to it.
There you go. Nothing special happening, just some more bullshit.
Yeah, Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern. We were going to have to talk about a topic off the air at some point.
Okay, there you go. And of course, just pay attention to the site to find out if and when Anything Goes ever comes back on Thursdays.
Exactly. Visit DenniseN.com and find us on Facebook, Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah. More happenings coming up on Friday nights. Stay tuned to the website to find out exactly what direction it's going there. And, of course, Saturday, have we got any kind of tap-outs to knockouts going on at all?
There is a UFC event this weekend, but again, depending upon the storm of the year that is brewing, I have no idea.
And, WTR Awards, 11 p.m. Eastern, hosted by Omega. Tune in for that.
Is that this Saturday?
This Saturday, WTR Awards.
Yep, this Saturday night.
Oh, boy.
Vote now, wildtalkradio.com/WTR Awards, and then stay tuned for CB Radio.
And, of course, next Sunday night, Johnny Cashmere returns with Life of Callus for the Super Bowl edition of the show. And we're trying to effort Andy Dick, comedian Andy Dick. There was a bit of a miscommunication. He was supposed to be on the program today. But we'll have him for you next Saturday night in advance of another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Everybody, that's it. Have yourselves a great week. We are out.